following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, back in the studio here in Kearney, and glad to be back. Glad to have you along with us. Hope you enjoyed our 2 days in Chicago. We did get a chance to find out more about all of the teams, and right off the bat, I'll let you know that we're going to be chatting with linebacker Mike Hall of Penn State today. We will continue to bring you a few of the interviews that we have over the next few shows that we brought back from Chicago as our Big Ten preview continues into August, brought to you in part by the Chicken Coop, the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island, and Misco Sports, among our many fine sponsors, and we thank them for supporting the Doug and Daddy Show and you, the listeners. Be sure to tell them thanks. And today, I thought besides that, we will get into all of these school things when August 1st starts. UNK and Hastings get back into it. We're right around the corner from high school football. Today is the last day, I say, of summer activities because the baseball state championship games will be played today, and then that's it, unless you can think of something, Randy, that says no. Summer more than that.
No. Baseball is, kind of the end of baseball is the end of summer, and it won't be the end for all these teams. Grand Island in great shape to be going on to the regionals and keep their season alive. Obviously, the Little League, they're kind of kicking off kind of that fall part of the season in terms of hopefully making it back to Williamsport as they'll be playing in Indianapolis as early as tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but Friday.
There are a couple of golf events, I think, that still take place here as far as the state goes, not for the high school kids necessarily, but kind of the senior amateur and a couple of other things that are going on out there as well. So we'll take a look at all of that. Plus today, one of the fun parts of the year is when we do come back from Media Days, wherever it's been over the years, Dallas, San Antonio, Kansas City, now Chicago with the Big Ten, is to give you our thoughts on a few of these teams and where we think. I mean, we've went over, we've talked with all the analysts. What stuck out? What did you? I'm going to go with the first one today, and it's off the path because Nebraska doesn't play Maryland. And the first that I was thinking of this morning, Randy, Maryland was really almost shy.
Yeah,
I thought
they weren't out there at all.
They were pretty shy. They were quiet. They did not do more than bang. Here we are, and maybe they just didn't know the routine wanted to keep it under the radar. Had some talented players. They've got a very good quarterback, very good wide receiving crew, but there was not a whole lot of talk about Maryland. Plus, with Maryland and Rutgers, there is zero Eastern or East Coast coverage of these teams at Media Days. If there was somebody there, it was more of a national thing with Maryland and Rutgers and maybe the local beat writer. But there was no buzz about Maryland or Rutgers outside of their new in the league.
No. And who was talking about it? It was the old teams in the league, you know, in terms of, hey, here's our expansion, here's – Maryland wasn't handing out business cards. I mean, if you're new in an association, you want to kind of go out there and make some connections, get to know people. We met very few people. I think we had a conversation with one kind of beat reporter from Maryland, But usually you kind of run into a lot of people. I didn't run into any media folks from the New Jersey area for Rutgers. The Rutgers University did a nice job of making sure the coach went out there. He was kind enough to talk to us. They spent some time trying to make some connections with the media and that sort of thing. But Maryland, their media was off the radar. Their players were off the radar. Their coach was off the radar. In fact, I don't remember in the roundtable sessions the Maryland players being there for more than about 15 minutes. It was a two-hour session, and they were there for a short period of time, took their little three-player team photo, and poof, they were gone.
Had to get home. They had the lunch, and everybody's got to go to the lunch.
Well, the interview time ends at 10, luncheon's at noon, and the luncheon is like 15 feet away, so they had time to do that. It was just interesting to me that Maryland was almost non-existent.
I will stay with Phil Steele. I will believe in the Bible because it is number one. It has been the most accurate, and it has been for the average of the 20 years. Here's what Phil Steele said, and we all knew this, but just kind of to recap. Ohio State in the Eastern Division. Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan. Maryland, Penn State, Indiana, and Rutgers. And he actually has Penn State and Indiana tied for fifth. We for the second straight year, really didn't run across a whole lot of Indiana. And again, to be fair, Nebraska doesn't play Indiana. I'm not sure how much you, the fan, the listeners of our show, care about Indiana football. So when we had a chance to talk to maybe an extra Iowa person, an extra Minnesota person, someone that Nebraska is going to play this year, a Michigan State person, you were going to be more interested in that. And that was kind of the approach we took. I wish we could almost take a camera and show you live the 2 hours of what it was like yesterday. It's quite the get together for the media session. But when you look at that, Randy, Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Maryland, Penn State and Indiana, Rutgers. Give me a quick thought of somebody that's overrated, underrated, just a thought there in the East.
I think that Ohio State, Michigan State, obviously 1-2. I think I'm a little higher on Michigan State than Ohio State. I mean, who am I to question Phil Steele? But I do like Michigan State a little bit better with them. They just have found a way to do it. And as talented as Braxton Miller is and all of that, I didn't like how Ohio State ended the season. I didn't like how they kind of blah. And they just don't have.
Yeah, but they were one possession games.
And they were. But Michigan State won a lot of one possession games. And you know what? Just about all of their games, they ended up winning by more than one possession. I think every conference win they had last year, they had a lot of them, were double digit leads. They won it by at least 10 every single one of those.
Yes, they did.
And they knocked people out. So you can talk about Ohio State doing that, but in terms of winning the tight games, Michigan State does a nice job of not having tight games. I just think that they have a little bit stronger heart than what Ohio State does. So I like Michigan. Where is the Ohio State Michigan State game?
This year it will be Ohio State at Michigan State. It's an evening game, nationally televised in November, conditions could be a part. Weather conditions could play a part in the game.
Another reason for me to like Michigan State.
It's weird because of all the things you went to, that's kind of where I was going to go as well. And I will point out this, and we will hear from Shalit Calhoun here in the upcoming Doug and Daddy shows, who's picked as the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. Nebraska fans, I'm going to tell you this right now. Don't be offended that Randy Gregory was not selected as the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year because they might be the two best in the country.
Now, oh, yeah.
I'm going
yeah.
over the top there, but I'm just saying.
Pretty close, though.
At the end of the year.
Shalik is outstanding. Yeah, amazing. And it was freshman last year? Redshirt freshman?
He'll be a junior this year.
Okay, so redshirt sophomore last year. And the physique, holy cow.
This is a man. He was the biggest man I saw of everyone that was represented there. He was the largest individual. He is a specimen. He is a good football player. He is well-spoken. He is confident. He's not cocky. He may be a little cocky. You have to be a little cocky. But that was not the way he came across. So I don't want people to think that. But I'm going to tell you what. This is the man, and with only five defensive returning starters for Michigan State, that is the question mark, but they pride themselves on that defense. You have to think that the pipeline continues. They have put themselves in that spot. I agree with you. I like Michigan State to win the East Division this year. And you take a look at the teams that they play. They've got to play Michigan and Ohio State back-to-back games with a bye in between, and both are at home for the Spartans. And I'm going to be quite frank, the rest of those games outside, I mean, Nebraska's at home. So a Nebraska fan can hope, maybe we can get that. That's their other toughest game. They go to Penn State last game of the year. They go to Maryland. That'll be offense versus defense. They've got Rutgers at home. They go to Purdue. They go to Indiana. You know, Indiana will definitely be their trap game. There's no doubt about it for me, because that's right before the Michigan and Ohio State games. It's at Indiana. Indiana can score. And sometimes Michigan State does have trouble scoring against good defenses. They had a couple of, and I don't even know, last year, their two struggles last year, ironically, were Purdue and Minnesota at home, 14-0, 14-3. Those were their two lowest scoring games. But you got to look about who they were playing before and after that. You cannot sell short Michigan State. I think Michigan is still laying in the weeds a little bit, although I didn't sense an aura of confidence from this Michigan team while we were at Media Days. I've wanted to think, I keep going back, and I asked Coach Hoke this yesterday, and he played it off a lot differently than he did last year. Last year, a lot of people said they liked Michigan's talent, but they were young. They thought that 2014 Michigan would be the favorite to win the conference. Nobody is even close to saying that this year. And I asked Coach why he thought that was, and he basically gave, well, we don't care what everybody else thinks about it. And so I kind of followed that up, obviously, with, well, have your youngsters taken well, and we hope they have, and blah, 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 blah. I didn't hear what I wanted to hear from Michigan, I guess would be the best way to put that.
You fake it until you make it. You know, I mean, you act confident until you actually are there and you kind of prove it and that sort of thing. And I think that's where Michigan's at right now. I think they're all going to say the right thing and all that. But I don't know if in their heart of hearts, and you ask a kid from Indiana who's going to win their division, oh, well, we are. You know, okay. I mean, and again, you have to have a certain level of confidence. But really, do you mean it? With Michigan, I think they're one of those teams that just doesn't really mean it yet. So, Michigan State, on the other hand, and going back to who we think might very well win the division, they have that confidence. They did it last year. And Coach Dan Antonio said, you know, who was hotter than us at the end of the season? And the answer is nobody in the country. If they would have had that 14 playoff a year ago, they'd been in there, and I would have liked their chances against anybody that would have been one of the three other teams. Obviously, you would have had Auburn. Obviously, you would have had Florida State in there. Whoever that fourth team would have been, I still like Michigan State in their matchup with them the way they were playing at the end of the year last year, and that is carrying over to this year, that aura of confidence. Michigan State has it. Michigan's hoping to get it, and they don't have it yet.
I'll go with this too. Rutgers has one chance to win a game in the East Division, and that's when they play Penn State, and they play that early enough in the year. It's like the third overall game. They'll still have a couple of non-conference games after that. Rutgers has one chance, and that's because Penn State, they will see as their rivalry game, and it'll be at home to win a game in the Eastern Division. I think there is a ton of talent. I don't know what to do with Penn State. James Franklin is right out front. He was one of the best coaches at Media Days. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any reservations.
Didn't duck anything, yeah.
Talking to the Penn State guys, they said he would do this all day. He has no problem chat with people. And so James Franklin's got that. I'm a little worried about Michigan. As of today, I'll say it's Michigan State, Ohio State. Then I think it's almost a three-way tie. I think Maryland is going to be pretty good. Indiana's got to be so much better. That's the problem. Indiana, if Indiana was in the West,
they'd be a nice dark horse pick in the West.
Yeah, I'd be very scared to be some of those teams in the West, because I think Indiana's got plenty of talent. I just don't think they've got enough of it. And even though they might be a better football team, it's going to be, I think they'll probably finish fifth, because I think either Michigan, Penn State, or Maryland won't live up to what some of these preseason prognostications are. But I like Michigan State to beat Ohio State at home, which will then put Michigan State 1, Ohio State 2, even, and then that gives Michigan State the tiebreaker. So even if they lose to somebody else, they'd have the tiebreaker over Ohio State. And then I wouldn't be surprised if Maryland finishes third, but the first year in the conference, that would be tough for them to do. So I'm gonna hang with Michigan right there. Maryland and Penn State tied for fourth, Indiana sixth, and Rutgers seventh. That's where I sit today, and that's the fun of the show. We get to make predictions again in about a month.
Yeah, and Indiana, if their defense just isn't good enough. But I will say this, if Indiana was in the West and kind of was able to put together that Cinderella season, they have an offense that can continue to evolve the offenses of the Big Ten. You know, the Big Ten is still a big, strong physical offense. It's no longer 3 yards and a cloud of dust kind of thing you had with Earl Bruce at Ohio State and stuff. But what you have with Indiana is really a wide open, great deep threats, throw the ball deep, also have some possession receivers, versatile running backs. We're going to go quick. You know, they can do a lot of no-huddle stuff. They're not crazy like Oregon is, but they'll do some no-huddle stuff. They're a very innovative offense, and they can push the Big Ten into that evolution of change with offenses if only they were going to win more football games, and they're not because after they score, they got to kick off, and the other team then gets the ball.
888-455-ESPN. Questions, comments, thoughts about what you heard and saw, not just from the Doug and Daddy show, but I know everybody's out there on the blogs and reading the newspapers and watching the TVs just like we do. What did you see? What did you have a question about coming out of Big Ten Media Days? Tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550 at ESPN 1460 1550. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And of course, the fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. One of the reasons Randy was glad that we got home today is so that he could go have lunch at Cunningham's, because every Wednesday
Wing
it's
Wednesday, baby.
Delicious. Well, you had Chicago wings.
Yeah, we did.
Chicago,
yeah.
Not known for the wings.
No. The pizza we had was awesome.
And really there's no reason Chicago should be known for their wings. They were average, tasty.
They were. They're not as good wings as Cunningham's.
No,
they're not.
Cunningham's better. 8 delicious wings, only $5. You can get 16 wings today for $10. It's a special at Cunningham's Journal, the Loft and Courtyard, where it's been beautiful weather. Get out, enjoy some of the live entertainment tonight out in the courtyard. Enjoy your coldest draft beer in town. Get whatever it is you want between 3 and 6, as happy hour is there for you. Big Ass Beer is $3.50. And, of course, well drinks only $1.50 during happy hour. When you are ready to escape ordinary, the place to be is Cunningham's Journal, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney. Lunch specials every single day. And if you don't want the lunch specials, there's burgers, pizza, salads, great appetizers, skewers. I love the skewers, especially during the summertime. They're outstanding. Stop by today at Cunningham's, downtown Kearney. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the West Division, where Nebraska is. Plus, later on in the show, Mike Hull, linebacker from Penn State, and we'll look at the State American Legion Baseball Finals. It's all still to come here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? It's all here at your Complete Nutrition store. Sometimes it's a short-term fix you need. Ladies, get ready to rock that hideous bridesmaid dress. Yup, it's 2 weeks away and it's sleeveless. Good thing there's Trim 10, a quick 10-day solution to help you lose that last 5 to 10 pounds of water weight fast. Get Trim 10 only at your Complete Nutrition store. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? as authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska. Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, expect partly sunny conditions. We'll push up to a high temperature near 80. We'll have our winds out of the northeast at 10 miles per hour. Then for tonight, partly cloudy in the upper 50s. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Michael Caro. Right now, 73.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on today's program. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Outside of Nebraska, we asked you yesterday, who's your pick to win the Big Ten West Division? And again, only a couple of teams were selected here. 63% said Iowa, 38% said Wisconsin. I know Jimmy Langan would have voted Northwestern. That was the vote yesterday. Today, the Lions announced they are tabling their contract discussions with Ndamukong Suh until after the season. Which would you rather see Suh do? Return to the Lions or test free agency? Well, that's an easy, well, we'll find out what happens at the end of the season. I think if the Lions are successful, then you want to see him back with the Lions. If the Lions and a new coaching staff continue to struggle this year, then I'd have to think, as a fan of Ndamukong Suh, you'd want to see him test the free agent market. So if they're not going to do anything till the end of the year, then you have to see how the Lions season plays out, in my opinion.
Can I go on record as saying I'd love to see him in a Dolphins uniform? Can I just come out and just plain flat out say that? I'd love to see him play for my favorite team.
I'd love to see him in Dallas.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody loved to see him play for us. His talent is not being questioned.
If you're a Lions fan, you probably want him to, you know, stay in Detroit. But otherwise, you may not have a dog in that hunt and a dog in that fight. And so you go, hey, I want him. I want him on my team, whatever your NFL team is. So in terms of testing free agency, might be the absolute best thing for him coming up here. I mean, it worked pretty well for Joe Flacco. You know, Flacco was kind of in the same situation a few years ago. He said, you know what, I'm not going to sign this deal because I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to bet in this season I have a good year, and that'll allow me to get a pretty good contract, and it did. He got the best contract in the NFL for quarterbacks, which is the best position, you know, to be playing in terms of making money. He got the absolute best deal in the NFL. So in a sense, in terms of pay, he was the best player in the NFL, when in fact he was not.
Kind of like Rod Tidwell?
Yeah, kind of like Rod.
Show me the money.
Show me the money. I did not get that until you just did that.
I knew it was going to slide.
Rod Tidwell was like, what the heck is...
Who's he talking? I will say this, though. I would rather see him... Detroit Lions are one of those teams for me that I would like to see do well. I'm not a Viking fan. I'm not a Packer fan. I'm not a Bears fan. And I know there's a ton of those fans around our listening area, and I'd like to see Detroit do well and be good because I like Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson and a variety of players that are on that team.
You can't really be anti-Detroit, can you?
Oh, yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, if you're in the division, if you're a division rival, absolutely, yeah.
So I would rather see Sue stay there than go to somebody that I don't really want to root for, like the Giants or the Jets
or
John's Raiders. Or, you know, I mean, there's some teams out there that you don't want to see him go to because you don't want to root for that team.
And I wouldn't.
So vote for it today.
He signs with the Jets. He is dead to me. I'm just saying that right now. Dead to me.
Vote for our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. And don't go to a team that, again, is just you're playing for a team that doesn't have a chance to win. And I know, Dallas. Yeah, I get that. But, you know, what if he went to Houston?
They're already loaded.
Clowning, Watt, Sue.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, there'd be some intriguing places for him to go. There's a lot of teams where Well, everybody could use another outstanding defensive tackle that Sue is, but boy, you could put him on some front lines, and that would really make a fearsome foursome. You kind of mentioned the Texans. That would be a pretty good starting point for a defense.
Mike Hall, linebacker, Penn State, going to join us. We'll hear Amir Abdullah's speech from yesterday in case you didn't get a chance to do that. Again, many kudos for Amir and the player's speech that he got to do at the luncheon yesterday.
And a couple things about the speech. You know, people in Nebraska kind of anti Pat Fitzgerald after his little snide comment, which, by the way,
he played off as a bad joke.
Well, and it was. You know what? I bet that joke played pretty well in the room in which he gave it, though. Yeah. You know, when he was talking to 100 of the biggest sponsors for Northwestern, and he's talking about, hey, we need to make sure that we show up, our fans show up for our homecoming game, because otherwise we're going to have a big red invasion. And then he makes the comment about, you know, they're coming because there's nothing else to do in Nebraska. Ha ha. I bet that joke played really, really well in the room. And, you know, it doesn't bother me because, in a way, it's a sign of respect because we're part of the family now, because now they can take shots at us. You know, I mean, we're part of this is a game that Northwestern has on their mind so they can take a shot at Nebraska. So I don't think anybody should be offended by those comments. And if you are, you need to have more fun than life.
You were mad that Kenny Bell fake cut his hair.
Yeah, you should try to have a little bit more fun in life and not take things so serious. But I will say this, after, and it's my understanding, because we were doing the show at the time, we didn't get to actually watch it, but my understanding from people who were there said that Amir Abdullah gave the speech, got a standing ovation, first guy to stand, Pat Fitzgerald, head coach, Northwestern. So I think there's a level of respect there that he has for student athletes in general, Amir Abdullah in particular, and the University of Nebraska in general.
And again, I knew the moment I saw the Pat Fitzgerald thing about calling Nebraska a boring state, I knew exactly how that was going to play off. It was going to be brought up because it came up at the time of day that all the afternoon talk shows, and let's face it, we are the first in the state of Nebraska, we are the first daily sports talk show on the air. Everybody else goes in the afternoon in Omaha, in Lincoln, the Husker Sports Network, everything else. And it played right into their hand where there wasn't a lot to talk about this time of the year except the football and except getting ready for media days. And you knew it would be brought up. And Chris and the guys on Hail Varsity brought it up. And they tongue-in-cheeked it as well. But Nebraska fan, there's always going to be somebody that wants to chime in on that. And it was too bad that had to become more than what it should have been. But Pat Fitzgerald, truly, I mean, there's so many.
He's a good guy. He's one of the really, really great guys in the conference. I don't want to name drop here, but I thought it was really kind of interesting. We got done with the 2-hour roundtable, and again, you sit in a room, and the coaches, players, whatever, you sit at a table, and people come in and out over the span of those 2 hours to ask you questions. So by its very nature, by its format, you're going to get the same question umpteen times. So to me, that's a tremendous amount of patience that these coaches and stuff have. Walking out of that, which would be exhausting if I was a coach or a player having to deal with all that, Kirk Ferentz was behind me as we were walking out on the way to the elevators and stuff. And he said, he was behind me. I didn't even know he was behind me. He said something to me because we met him the day before about, well, did you get everything you need, blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of struck up a conversation. So we walked going toward the elevator to get out of there. And we just had a nice conversation, and I told him, I said, I don't know how you do that, you know, putting up with all that stuff. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was a nice, lighthearted conversation coming up. And then Brady Hoke is walking around, and he introduces me to Brady Hoke, and is like, hey, did you have a chance to meet Randy? And I mean, just really, really, and again, he struck up the conversation with me. I wasn't, you know what I mean? I wasn't one of those wide-eyed guys that's like, oh, you could have your autograph. But he starts a nice conversation with me, and he doesn't know me from Adam.
People don't understand this. Here's what I will say about that, because, again, I always feel that every once in a while, since we all know each other and have done the show for so long, for those that don't know, I mean, Randy was sports director at NTV coming out of school. Have covered the Huskers, have went to bowl games, have been to the national championship, Orange Bowl type games, and then went into the education field, and now you're with us and do the show and play-by-play and such and such. So it's not like you're new to this, but this was actually the first media days that you had went to in this format. A lot of people don't get it. Most of these coaches
are normal guys. They say, okay, it's part of the job. We have to do it. It's something Bo had to get used to, knowing that it was part of the job, and he's just going to have to do it. So if you're going to have to do it, you just as well have some fun with it. You don't have to enjoy it, but get through it.
And some coaches do, by the way. Some coaches do.
Yeah, some coaches do. And they're good people. Ferentz, that's why we love Pat Fitzgerald. He's always been good with us. And, of course, when they're good with you, you give them a little bit more publicity out there. Brady Hoke, another one that's always been good with us. We've had a chance to talk with him all the way back until the Ball State days when he joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And we've always had a good chance chatting with him. When Brett Bielema was still with Wisconsin, you know, we had a couple of chances to chat with him. That was very good as well. Coach O'Brien, just in his couple of years, was good with Penn State. Coach Beckman has been good with Illinois. Daryl Hazel will be. It is part of the deal. Let's face it, when you're Purdue, when you're Illinois, you don't have to go up and talk to the national media as much. So there's more time to get to everybody else around there. But let's get to the West Division right now. I don't think Wisconsin's going to win the division because I think they've got too many pieces to replace on the defensive side of the football. I think Wisconsin has been selected as a default pick. They should have naturally should have more talent than the Northwesterns, than Minnesota's,
and I think they
than
do.
The Illinois. As far as having more than Iowa, Nebraska, I don't know that that would be true.
If you tell me Wisconsin wins it, would it be shocked? No, it wouldn't be shocked. It's Wisconsin. But I also think that's why they're the default pick. I like Iowa. I did find out something yesterday. Didn't realize something until actually after the show yesterday. Iowa last year, I think, lost 3 or 4 games at home. And the their schedule favors them
games. Michigan State, Michigan. Oh, no, they beat Michigan. Excuse me. They were Northern Illinois, who's been one of the best teams in the non-BCS schools, has been in a BCS game. That was a 3-point loss. Then they lost at home to Michigan State, who, as you said, was the hottest team in the country outside of Florida State. And they lost to Wisconsin. Those were the 3 home games they lost.
Well, they play Wisconsin at home again this year. I mean, so if you lost to them last year, you can certainly do it again this year. Nebraska, if they play Nebraska, that's going to be one of their toughest games at home as well. They haven't defended Kinnick Stadium as well as they want to. I mean, you want to go undefeated, obviously. So maybe that the fact that their toughest games are at home isn't as much of a benefit as I was kind of giving it credit to. I think they're still my pick. Obviously, I think Nebraska is going to be right there. So I'm going to go with Iowa 1 and Nebraska 1A. I think it comes down to that final game of the year. I think it comes down to that day after Thanksgiving. That is for the division championship, and Wisconsin is just going to be one step behind that because I just don't think defensively they're going to have as much talent as they've had in years past, and their offense isn't going to be good enough to make up for it.
There is going – I'm a believer in momentum, and when you get into that season, it can change so quickly with injuries, an upset loss, an upset win. One of the biggest games of the year in the conference will be Wisconsin at Northwestern, the first conference game for both of those schools on October the 4th. Northwestern plays at Penn State, the week before Wisconsin. That's their first conference game at Northwestern. If Northwestern is going to do what some people think, Northwestern has to win that. It's at Northwestern. Because if Wisconsin wins that, Randy, Illinois, Maryland, Rutgers, Purdue, that's their next 4 with a bye in there.
Yeah.
They're going to win those games, and they're going to have all the momentum in the world coming into their toughest stretch, Nebraska, Iowa, and then say what you want, Minnesota. They're starting to make up a lot in Minnesota about not having won the axe, Paul Bunyan's axe, and Wisconsin beating them in over a decade here. So their final 3 games are their toughest 3 games. But if you're on a roll at that point, they become just a little bit easier because you have confidence and you are winning games and you have something to play for.
Yeah, that confidence is huge. Iowa's schedule sets them up to be probably 10-0 heading into the toughest part of their season, and they'll have that kind of confidence as well. So that being said, Nebraska's game with Miami and the week before that, Fresno State, if they win those games, they'll have some confidence heading into some games, but yet their schedule kind of works against them at Michigan State. They have to play at Northwestern, so their toughest games are on the road at Wisconsin. That's why I think Nebraska has the most talent. I think they're the best team, but their schedule makes it so they're going to have to find some way to win some road games, and they've got to win the vast majority of them. They can get banged by one of them, especially Michigan State because that's out of the division. And obviously they don't lose that full game when you lose a game within your division. So that's really about the only affordable loss that Nebraska has. Nebraska's not going to go undefeated. They're not good enough for that, but I think they may very well be the most talented. It's just really hard to pick them with their schedule number one in the division.
Here's the thing about Nebraska that is my forefront thought. They have some outstanding players. As some people say, they may have the best offensive player and the best defensive player in the conference. Amir Abdullah and Randy Gregory by the time the season ends. And, of course, you can throw in the other guys that we've talked about, Braxton Miller, Melvin Gordon, Shalik Calhoun.
Yeah.
They've got some great players, but they have got some big holes. Can the great players overcome the weaknesses on this football team? I think in a lot of instances, they can. Can they pull this football team along? Nebraska's schedule, albeit tough, does not have that back-to-back conference week like they have had the first 3 years, where they play Ohio State and Wisconsin back-to-back or just go on down the line. It's Michigan State. It's Illinois, Michigan State. Bye week, Northwestern. Rutgers, Purdue. Bye week, Wisconsin. Minnesota at home, Iowa on the road. As much as we talk about those road games, those are definitely going to be something to watch. Nebraska, I just cannot see
And Nebraska them. Travels so well, those road games are not as much of a road game for Nebraska as they are for other schools. I mean, there'll be a lot of red at Kinnick Stadium the day after Thanksgiving.
We talked about it on our roundtable Friday with Sean and Mike and Mitch Sherman. For Nebraska, they have to be able to get through the Fresno State and Miami of Florida games. And then this is a team, as I've said, this team could go 10-2 and not sniff the conference championship game.
And you also talked about that confidence level that has to be in and through their quarterback. The quarterback is probably the biggest question mark for Nebraska. I think it's going to be better than what a lot of people do. And it might even be Riker 5. You know, or it's going to be Armstrong. But whoever has that job, and Kenny Bell kind of said this, he said, hey, whoever it is, is going to be my guy. You know, they're going to be good enough. They immediately have my confidence. Well, yeah, it's nice to say, but once you get some wins, if you can win with that guy, then it comes. Then that confidence comes. And you have to have that at the quarterback position, and I really think Nebraska will have that. It won't be... You look back there and you see Braxton Miller, or you see somebody that's going to be contending for a Heisman Trophy. The Nebraska's quarterback is not going to contend for being the best quarterback, not going to make all conference, okay? I mean, there's just too many good quarterbacks in this conference. But I think they can be serviceable enough that they're not going to hurt them, that when they need to make a play, they'll be able to do it. But their running game should be outstanding. Their defense should be solid. They're big up front on both the offensive and defensive lines. The things you like in a football team, Nebraska is going to have. Schedule works against them a little bit. And as a result, even though I think they have the most talent overall, they may not have enough to overcome everything that they need to overcome playing the schedule that they're playing.
If you think Nebraska's quarterback, whoever it is, can handle playing Michigan State's defense at Michigan State in a night game on October 4th, then you have drunk way too much Kool-Aid. I think Nebraska is 9-3, 10-2.
Well, you need to run the football. I mean, you don't want to just put it on that
turnovers.
Guy. Oh, and you got to do all that stuff. I mean, no, Nebraska's quarterback isn't going to be a Peyton Manning out there that's going to be able to be cool, calm, and collected under
I'm
pressure.
Just saying.
You have to be able to establish those other things, and you have to have your game strong enough to get to that point. But I don't necessarily think that the quarterback for Nebraska at that point, if they're playing well, is immediately going to soil themselves when they walk out there at Spartan Stadium. I mean, I just think they're going to be good enough that they'll be able to, if things go well. Now, here's the question. When and if the Spartans force a turnover, are they going to be able to handle that? Now, again, I don't know the answer to that because I don't know if Nebraska will even turn the ball over. They may have to win at Michigan State. But again, they can lose at Michigan State and still win the conference because it's a loss. Yes, in the Big Ten, but it's out of your division. So you'll lose that game, but it only hurts you half as much as losing a game, but yet one of your division rivals wins on the same time in the same field when that happens. So it doesn't hurt as much when it's outside of the division.
We've broke all this down, and I still – you took Iowa, and I guess I've got to take Iowa on the faces that their schedule is the easiest that could in the history of ever be.
But are they good enough –
Well, you know, I mean, who's going to be better than them?
You've got to put it together.
Who's going to be better than them?
Nebraska's better than them, but they have – but Iowa's schedule makes up for that, I think. I mean, if you really think that Nebraska is that much better, then you don't necessarily worry about Iowa's schedule. I'm saying it's close enough that the easier schedule for Iowa is going to help them just a nudge past Nebraska.
You know what my apprehension with Iowa is? They never live up to expectations. That's my apprehension.
Another one is they – but – flip side of that is they're known for kind of yo-yoing. They'll be kind of bad one year. Next year, they're really, really good. Well, they were kind of bad last year. Got better, improved, was able to get themselves bowl eligible, you know, by getting hot down the stretch, playing pretty well, blah, blah, blah. I think they'll be much better this year. I think it's an up year. The yo-yo is going up this year.
If Iowa quarterback Jake Rudock improves, I think they are the team. So I'm going to take Iowa 1. Wisconsin 2, Nebraska 3. I think Northwestern has a very tough schedule. Here's their conference start: at Penn State, home Wisconsin, at Minnesota, home Nebraska. I know they've got 17 returning starters. There's a chance. And then bye week at Iowa, home Michigan. And they could lose every one of those games.
Yeah.
That's a tough stretch. So I'm going to take my little surprise here, and I don't know if being fourth is a big surprise. So I've got Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Minnesota, then Northwestern and Illinois. In fact, Purdue might be better than Illinois this year. I think Hazel has got something to work with there. But, again, the bottom will be a long way from the top, and that is the way we –
I'm with you. I think Minnesota it might be better than Northwestern. I'm not buying Northwestern being that good. And they talk about all this union stuff not being a distraction. Well, the vote is going to be revealed halfway through the season. They're already asking a lot of questions. I think there's some distractions that are associated with that. I just not buying Northwestern. It's just more of a gut feeling than anything else.
We'll hear Amir Abdullah's speech when we come back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Don't forget, time is running out on the Chevy Summer Drive event through the end of the month. 0% APR, 72 months on all 2014 Silverado light and heavy-duty pickups, and 0% for 60 months on the 2014 Impala, Malibu, and Cruze. Take advantage now through the end of the month, and also on August 1st, that's the deadline to get registered for the Kawasaki Vulcan 900 and Tandem Skydive through Skydive Atlas. It's the Midway Extreme Giveaway. And again, if you get some service work done, 5 additional entries. If you purchase a vehicle, 20 additional entries. Or you can just get entered today online or their Facebook page. Go to thinkmidway.com. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Since 1947, Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating has called Central Nebraska home. When you grow with a community that long, you want to give something back. So Anderson Brothers is giving away a new Central air conditioning system to a deserving family. Help us find the right family. Send emails to sales@andersonbros.com or call us at 236-6437. Nominations must be received by August 1st. The Central air conditioner giveaway from Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport... done right.
Join the fun and golf at Hastings Elks. Golf at the Elks is Hastings' best recreation value. We're open to the public and 6 p.m. to close every day. It's just $15 for 9 holes with a golf cart included. Make your tee time online 24-7 at HastingsElksGolf.com. And look for our Twilight Special. 6 p.m. to close every day. 9 holes, just $15, including cart. Join the fun at HastingsElksGolf.com.
Hey, Nebraska, this is Jeff from Big O Tires, here to make one thing clear. We will beat any price on 4 new tires. At Big O, we have sets of 4 passenger tires starting as low as $140. And we have light truck tires that start at just $240 for a set. At Big O Tires, we want to earn your business with the absolute lowest tire prices in the state. It's our commitment to you. We will not be beat on price, period. Give us a try. We're Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug and Randy Bushcutter with you on today's program. Coming up, we'll talk with Mike Hull, linebacker of Penn State, and we're going to hear Amir Abdullah's speech as well from Big Ten Media Days, brought to you in part by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island. Go to gidiocese.org for mass times and parish activities throughout central and western Nebraska. Let's hear from Amir Abdullah and his speech yesterday. In case you missed any of that, we're going to pull that up for you. Did you lose it? We'll get that set here for you in just a moment. Before that, while we get that set to go, let's take a look at the Legion baseball from yesterday. Grand Island home Federal in a great game. Beat Kearney, held on for a 5-4 victory. Kearney's season is over, but that gives Grand Island 2 games tonight as they take on Creighton Prep at home. First game's at 4:30. If Prep wins, that'll necessitate a second game.
Well, you don't ask for anything better than to be undefeated, going into that last day, both games on your home field and playing as well as Grand Island's playing right now. Their number 8 hitter got a leadoff double. Their number 9 hitter in a sacrifice bunt situation to get him over the third actually bunted for a base hit. So you had runners at first and third in a tie ball game with nobody out. And now the top of the order coming up, so the bottom of the order doing the job for Grand Island, then the top of the order driving in the run. So, again, they're clicking on all cylinders, and I don't think Prep has – well, I don't want to say has much of a chance because you always have
wow.
a chance.
Did you say that?
I said no, I don't want to say that, so therefore I did not say that. But I will say I really like Grand Island's chances tonight.
And they're sitting there with their top pitchers ready to go. Also, Hastings, man, what a job they did, and they gave – I said yesterday it would be one of the biggest upsets ever, and they were up 4-1 yesterday in their contest against Westside, who's 49 and now 50-3. And Westside comes back from that 4-1 deficit to beat Hastings 7-5. Heck of a run down there at Omaha. Congratulations to them. So Kearney and Hastings eliminated. Grand Island goes for the state title, as you said, the state champs. Then they play each other this weekend, and it doesn't matter how that comes out. They still go to the regionals. As far as Class A juniors, Grand Island 5 points got nipped by Lincoln East 9-8 last night. 5 points will be in the championship game tonight. So Lincoln East has to play Omaha Scutt, who beat Millard South 3-2. Then the winner will play 5 points for the championship tonight at approximately 8 o'clock. That's down at Elkhorn South. Hickman and Crete have made it to the finals of the Class B championship. Hickman eliminating Albion yesterday. And the Class C championship, 2 one-run games. Sutton trying to work their way back through the loser's bracket. They lost the first game of the tournament to Hebron. They play Hebron again tonight. Sutton with a walk-off last night, 4-3 over Shelton Gibbon. Hebron beat Pender 6-5. Sutton and Hebron play at 5:30 in Hebron. Then the winner will play Shelton Gibbon for the state title coming up at 8 o'clock. So good luck to the teams.
Yeah, good luck to all of those teams. And again, wrap your mind around going 50-3 in baseball. I mean, because one-third of the time or two-thirds of the time, something bad happens to you when you're up at bat. So the fact that you're that consistent through the course of things going 50-3, that is amazing.
If you missed Amir Abdullah's speech at the Big Ten luncheon yesterday, and unless you were watching over your lunch hour on the Big Ten Network, you would not have seen it. Let's hear from Nebraska's running back.
Good afternoon. My name is Amir Abdullah, senior running back at the University of Nebraska. Now, before I begin today, I have a confession to make. I get extremely nervous in front of big crowds, so At any point in my speech, if I seem nervous, it's because I am. It's kind of ironic when I think about it because I play in venues such as Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, where the crowds exceed over 100,000 people. But anytime I'm asked to come in front of a crowd such as there is today, I immediately start sweating. Trust me, nothing is more intimidating than speaking in a room full of determined reporters. You know, I know you see big guys like my guy, Shalik Calhoun, walking in. I know you think he's pretty intimidating, but trust me, we have nothing on you guys. So, with that being said, I really want to thank the Big Ten Conference for giving me the opportunity to speak today. It's truly an honor. I know a lot of you guys may not realize, but I'm truly a Big Ten guy. I say that because in 2011, which was my freshman year at Nebraska, was also Nebraska's inaugural year of entering the Big Ten. And so I'm proud to be able to say that the Big Ten is the only conference I've ever known. And for the universities of Maryland and Rutgers who are entering the Big Ten this year, you too will soon realize that the academic and athletic prestige of the Big Ten is second to none. So welcome. You know, we live in a capitalistic society. From the stock markets on Wall Street to the everyday vendors on street corners, almost every aspect of our lives is affected by capitalism. And as a sports fan, I've noticed that capitalism has reared its head on the realm of college athletics, mainly in the debates of whether or not college football players should be paid or not. In fact, these debates have become so contentious that lawsuits have been filed, and the National Labor Relations Board has granted players from fellow Big Ten member Northwestern the opportunity to form a union. Now, it'd be easy for me to stand up here and give you guys my personal beliefs and standpoint on the economic opportunities that may come for college athletics and college football players in the future, but that's not what I'm here to do. Instead, if I may, I would like to touch on something I feel like gets overlooked far too often. And that's something I like to call the essence of the student athlete. So, what is the essence of the student athlete? That is, what are the fundamental attributes that make up a student athlete? Now, we all know a student athlete is someone who participates in one or more athletics at their college. But to me, that doesn't encompass the true essence of a student athlete. To me, the true essence of a student athlete is someone who has the desire to educate themselves athletically, academically, and personally. We've all heard the phrase before, dumb jocks. But I'm here to tell you guys today that, by and large, student athletes are no dummy. In fact, the essence of a student athlete requires the student athlete to educate themselves in many ways, including athletically. Now, as I look into the crowd, I may see a couple confused faces. I know you're thinking, Amir, how does an athlete educate themselves on athletics? Well, besides the obvious, you know, athletic lessons that are learned on the field, such as the X's and O's or defensive strategies or offensive strategies, there are many ways that a student athlete can educate themselves in athletics. For example, thinking back to my first fall camp in 2011, I can still remember my first toss play. There I was in the backfield, you know, my shining moment, thinking, I'm going to take this toss to the crib. And as Taylor tossed me the ball, I made a nice little move to the outside, got upfield, and out of nowhere, All-American linebacker Levante David came screaming at me like a bat out of hell and completely destroyed me. You know, and only as Levante could do, got up, throwing the bone, celebrating as he always does, thus dashed my hopes of getting in the end zone that day. But as I sat there humiliated and embarrassed, in that moment I learned a very valuable lesson. That in life, there's always going to be somebody stronger than you. There's always going to be somebody faster than you. And oftentimes, there's going to be somebody smarter than you. But you cannot let that deter you from your goals. If someone is stronger than you, train harder. If someone is faster than you, then you have to run smarter. If someone is smarter than you, you have to train longer and harder. As a student athlete, I've learned that in order to be successful in life, you have to make critical sacrifices in life in order to accomplish your goal. When I think about it, my experience with athletics in college has allowed me to check my ego In fact, it's allowed me to become a better teammate and a better man. I say that because taking you guys back to my freshman year, once again, I came in with three other running backs. Well, myself, Braylon Hurd, and Aaron Green. And although we were all individually talented, none of us saw any significant time at running back that freshman year. It's kind of funny thinking about it because we didn't get that many carries, we all called ourselves Team No Tugs, because in every game, we probably averaged like two carries between all three of us. But all joking aside, that probably was the best thing that could have happened to us, because this was the first times in our athletic careers that we were not the focal points of our team offense. But instead of developing a bad attitude or blaming someone else for our current predicament, instead we found other ways to contribute to the team, such as special teams or being great servicemen during practice. And in that instance, I learned another very valuable lesson about life. Every person on the team plays a very important role. And any person in a company, for that matter, plays a very important role. In fact, sorry, guys. I have to do that from time to time to keep myself calm. Every person plays an important role on the team. And the overall success of a team doesn't depend on only the starters, but everyone working together to accomplish a common goal. At the academic education that I've received helps me form the essence of a student athlete. In examining the word student athlete, notice that the word student comes first, as it rightfully should. And contrary to common belief, being a student is the most important job that an athlete has. Think about it for a minute. If our grades aren't up to par, we won't and we shouldn't be allowed to play. But aside from the athletic repercussions that one may face by not taking advantage of the educational opportunity, studies have shown that obtaining a college degree has some significant economic advantages. For example, I read somewhere, over one's life, a college graduate earns up to $1 million more than someone with a high school diploma. Just think about that for a minute. $1 million. That's like saying you could win the lottery by going to class and just doing your work. Now, if that's not motivation for us student athletes to go to class, I guess nothing will. Aside from winning the education lottery, obtaining a college education is critically important to every student and should be specifically important to all the college football players in this room. Because for one, not everyone's going to have the opportunity to play in the NFL. And two, if you are fortunate enough to play in the NFL, the average career is less than 5 years. So that means you have a lot of living to do after playing days are over. The education that one attains in college can help lay down the groundwork for whatever career a player chooses to pursue after playing days are over. You see, education is more than a degree or certificate that one receives after fulfilling the requirements for graduation. Education is a lifelong process. However, the heart and soul of the essence of the student athlete is personal education. Personal education is like a fingerprint. It's unique. Thus, every student's personal education is different. For me, my journey has caused me to face some harsh realities. For one, I'm no longer a child, and for two, as a man, every decision I make has severe consequences. At no other point in my life was this realization more painfully clear from when the last time I visited home. You see, a couple months ago, I went home to visit my family in Alabama, and as I usually do, I also visited my friends. And wow, a lot of things have changed in just 3 years. During my visit, I learned that one of my best friends, who also went to college on an athletic scholarship, got hooked onto drugs and flunked out of school. Even more disturbing was the fact that one of my best friends, who I also grew up with, was sentenced to 25 years in prison. I remember thinking to myself, I get a little emotional thinking about it. I remember thinking to myself, how could this happen to these guys? These weren't people who I read about or see on TV. These were my best friends, guys who I knew from elementary school to high school, and all these things were happening to them. That's when reality set in for me. If it could happen to them, it could happen to any student athlete in this room today. It only takes one bad decision to derail all of our hopes and dreams. But as I get ready for my final season in college, both the opportunity the Big Ten Conference has given me to compete in and the education I've received at the University of Nebraska combined to give me the tools needed to make great life decisions and to encompass the true essence of the student athlete. You see, nothing is guaranteed. But if we continuously strive to educate ourselves athletically, academically, and personally, then maybe, just maybe, one day we can reach our full potential. Thank you, and good luck to everyone this season. Get them Skurs.
That is Nebraska running back Amir Abdullah, his speech yesterday at the Big Ten luncheon in Chicago.
Get him Skurs. I like that. I might use that a lot the rest of the year. I like that.
We don't have a lot of it's a Go Big Red.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's a nice little something extra.
The real NU.
Yeah, tell the folks at Northwestern that.
We're going to take a break here. Our coverage of Big Ten Media Days brought to you in part by Misco Sports. Get your game on at Misco's, keeping you better equipped for decades with the same great crew and the same great equipment, Husker gear they have for you. And, of course, they're going to get you ready for football, volleyball, and all of the sports this fall season at Misco Sports. And the Chicken Coop and Carney, stop by and join them for lunch today. We'll be back after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For 2,000 years, we've helped the poor and comforted the sick. We've educated generations of children, developed the scientific method and college system. We support marriage and human life. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the fullness of Christian faith in the church started by Jesus. If you've been away, visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Welcome home.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products. Building generations, one block at a time.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You'll get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Even if you've never considered a job in broadcasting, here's a part-time job opportunity to supplement your income or enhance your education. Platte River Radio has openings for in-studio sports producers for our sports play-by-play broadcasts in both Kearney and Hastings. We will provide training. Successful candidates will be responsible and of good character with a valid Nebraska driver's license. If you are interested, email generalmanager@kkpr.com, an equal opportunity employer.
Penn State linebacker Mike Hull coming up next to wrap up our Doug and Daddy show, brought to you in part by TNL Irrigation Systems. Pivot control comparisons. When you take a look at TNL versus the competition, you'll see that TNL is checked off in every possible spot to make you even better with their hydrostatic power system. They'll take care of you working your way through the summer months, getting closer to harvest. We drive by all the fields, and the ones that made it through the summer, made it through the storms, are looking pretty good, that have those TNL pivot systems in them. TNL Irrigation is proven technology that works. They've got the Pivot Manager 2, the PPC3. Of course, the Precision Link is what got it all going. Manual speed and direction control is all part of TNL. If you haven't looked at the TNL Irrigation system and you're trying to make that change or you're thinking about something new, TNL Irrigation boys will take care of you. Just visit your local TNL Irrigation dealer or go to TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation, proven technology that works. And Randy, Penn State is known as Linebacker U. It seems like almost every school in the conference, even though it's expanding, has its niche. Michigan State for defense, linebackers at Penn State. And you can go on and on down the line.
Running backs probably at Nebraska is probably one of those that has the richest tradition. Offensive linemen at both Nebraska and Iowa as well. But, you know, Penn State has had a tremendous, you know, Lambert and Ham and just a lot of guys over the course of the years. It has been one of the major focal points of any team within the Big Ten Conference. When you think about Penn State, you think about linebackers.
Well, Linebacker U is Linebacker U, and we've had a chance to talk to some great ones at Penn State. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And the next one on the list from Penn State, Mike Hull, and he gives us some time here. And, Mike, thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes. Talk a little bit about what it's
I felt good football instinct when I came to Penn State. Whenever myself in the right bit, I just always found time, position at the right. I was fortunate enough to last year, despite, you know, do that, injury and everything, you know, knee. It went on.
Academics for 3-time already graduated. Be smart. You've all. How do you feel about it? How does that and how on and moving, being done with classes and moving the regular you're going to be doing on to whatever change the way now into to this. You can put time.
Yeah. I mean
fall season. Well, obviously a little computer malfunction there with our chat with Mike Hull of Penn State.
We didn't talk that fast when we were.
He
doing
didn't
it.
Answer that fast either.
He was contemplative, not terribly contemplative, but I mean, it wasn't that quick.
No, we'll check that out here. And while we do that, let's remind you that the 87th annual Southwest Open, brought to you by the Holdridge Country Club, is August 9th and 10th. Entry fee is only $95, and you can get registered today by going to holdridgecc.com, holdridgecc.com, or you can give them a buzz at 308-995-5744, 308-995-5744. Your entry fee gets you free practice round on Friday to enjoy the beautiful Holdridge Country Club, free range balls to practice, dinner Saturday night, which is always outstanding, the Calcutta, of course, the 2 days of golf that come with the 87th annual Southwest Open at the Holdridge Country Club, August 9th and 10th. Let's try Mike Hull again. Well, Linebacker U is Linebacker U, and we've had a chance to talk to some great ones at Penn State. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And the next one on the list from Penn State, Mike Hull, and he gives us some time here. And, Mike, thanks so much for giving us a couple of minutes. Talk a little bit about what it's
like. I felt good football instinct when I came to Penn State. Whenever myself in the right bit, I just always found time, position at the right. I was fortunate enough to last year, despite, you know, do that injury. And
well,
everything.
I guess we.
I had a record that used to do that all the time. You know, it feels like deja vu.
Guess we'll hear from Mike at a future time.
You bang the side of that thing. That's what it was. I had to clean my record. I don't know what you do with this deal. You guys are on it.
I blame the producer.
Yeah, and because
can't Jeff, possibly be our fault.
No, that would never happen. No.
Our fault. Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We apologize for that. We will get that taken care of. We'll hear from Mike on a later show here on ESPN Radio. Damon Day is going to join us as our co-host tomorrow. Also, comedian Nick Hoff is going to join us. He'll be appearing at the World Theater this weekend. That's one thing.
What are you, some kind of comedian?
More comedic on this show.
Somebody with skills, actually.
Also, tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, we'll continue on with our Big Ten football preview. We've got many more to take a look at. We'll go back to Iowa, who Randy likes as his Western Division champion, and we will talk with their outstanding offensive lineman, Brandon Scherf. We got a chance to talk with him and Drew Ott from Giltner. He's been going up against him. We'll hear his thoughts on that. And this is a All-American candidate, first-team preseason All-Big Ten, Brandon Scherf of Iowa will be among our guests tomorrow. And we want to thank you for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Randy, now you get back to work. You've had enough Chicago fun.
I haven't. It's time to go eat some wings first, though.
Yeah, he's headed to Cunningham's. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!